Welcome to this beginner masterclass on building an Apache-style humanized pad in Ableton Live 12, with that dusty VHS rave color that sits perfectly in jungle and old-school drum and bass. The goal here is not to make a super shiny modern pad. We want something warm, unstable, and a little nostalgic, something that feels like it was sampled off an old rave tape, then carefully placed inside a rolling DNB groove. By the end, you should have a pad that breathes, drifts, and supports the breakbeat without getting in the way. First, let's set the scene for the track. In drum and bass, context matters a lot. So before you design the sound, set your tempo somewhere between 160 and 174 BPM. If you want a classic jungle feel, 165 to 170 BPM is a great place to start. Drop in a basic breakbeat or drum loop and give yourself a simple arrangement idea right away. For example, maybe the first four bars are pad only, the next four bring in drums, and then bass enters after that. Even if this is just a sketch, it helps you hear whether the pad is too busy or too bright once the rhythm section starts moving. Now let's build the core sound. You can use Wavetable or analog in Ableton Live 12. We'll go with a synth-first approach because it gives us more control over the movement and the human feel. Load Wavetable on a new MIDI track. Start with a basic waveform, something saw-like or a soft triangle and saw blend. Keep it simple. The vibe here is not more oscillators equals better. It's about getting a solid, musical core. Use one oscillator as your main body and a second oscillator slightly detuned, maybe just a few cents up or down. A little detune goes a long way here. If you want a wider sound, turn on a small amount of unison, but don't overdo it. We want hazy and rich, not giant and overblown. Now shape the amplitude envelope. For a pad, a slightly slower attack is your friend. Try a short but noticeable attack, maybe around 20 to 80 milliseconds. That gives the note a soft swelling quality, which instantly feels more tape-like and less robotic. Keep the sustain fairly high, and set the release long enough that the chords can breathe and overlap a little. If you want it really washed, let the release stretch out. If you want it tighter and more rhythmic, shorten it a bit. You're aiming for movement, not a piano-style punch. Now comes one of the most important parts of the whole lesson, humanizing the MIDI. A lot of beginner pads sound sterile because every note starts perfectly on the grid, every velocity is the same, and every chord is stacked in exactly the same way. That gives you something that's technically correct, but it doesn't feel alive. Start with the harmony. Jungle and old school DNB love minor 7, minor 9, sus 2, sus 4, and add 9 chords. They feel emotional without being cheesy. For example, in D minor you could use D minor 9, then BB major 7, then G minor 7, then a minor 7. Or in F minor territory, try F minor 7, Ab major, G minor 7, and so on. The exact notes matter less than the vibe, moody, cinematic, slightly tense, and definitely nostalgic. Then humanize the notes themselves. Don't make every chord identical. Vary the note lengths a little. Let some notes overlap slightly into the next chord. Shift a few notes a tiny amount off the grid, maybe just 5 to 15 milliseconds early or late. That tiny imperfection makes a huge difference. Also vary the velocity. Let the root note be a little stronger, and keep the upper notes a little softer. If every note hits at the same strength, the pad sounds pasted in. If the velocities breathe a bit, the chord feels performed. Another great trick is using different inversions. Don't always stack your chords the same way. Sometimes move the top note up an octave. Sometimes let one chord voice sit a little lower or higher than the last one. That gives the loop a sense of progression, even if the harmony itself is repeating. If you have Live 12 features like note probability or velocity variation, use them sparingly. The key word is intention. You're not trying to create random chaos. You're trying to make it feel like a person is holding down chords on a slightly unstable synth or sampler. Next, let's give the pad some movement with filtering. Add auto filter after the instrument. A low pass filter is usually the move here. Start with a cutoff somewhere in the mid-range, maybe around 2 to 8 kHz depending on how bright the patch is. Keep resonance modest, then automate that cutoff over time. Maybe the pad starts darker in the intro, opens up a little as the groove develops, then pulls back once the bass enters. That kind of movement is classic in DNB arrangement. Dark intro, air opens up, impact lands, then space returns. If you want even more life, add a tiny bit of slow LFO movement to the filter, just a little. The idea is to suggest unstable tape motion, not obvious wobble. Think subtle movement first, obvious effect second. In this style, too much modulation can turn a moody pad into a distraction. Now let's add some VHS-style color. This is where the sound starts to feel like it came from a worn cassette or a rave tape, with a little history in it. Put saturator after the filter. Add a few dB of drive, keep soft clip on, and make sure you compensate the output so the sound doesn't just get louder and trick you into thinking it's better. We want warmth, density, and a slightly compressed old sampler feeling. If you want a bit more lo-fi edge, add redux very carefully. Just a touch of downsampling or bit reduction can roughen the texture in a nice way. But be gentle. In drum and bass, the drums and bass need clarity. The pad should add character, not turn into digital rubble. If it starts sounding crunchy in a bad way, back it off. You can also use vinyl distortion very subtly if you want a bit of aged movement in the background. Again, subtlety wins. A big part of making this pad sit properly is controlling the stereo image and the low end. Pads can get huge fast, and huge is not always useful. Add utility near the end of the chain and widen it a bit if needed, maybe somewhere around 110% to 140%, but check the low mids and the sub area. If the pad is cluttering the bottom of the mix, narrow it or high pass it more aggressively. The low end should stay open for the kick, snare, and bass. This is especially important in jungle and old school DNB, where the breakbeat needs room to breathe. You can use EQ8 to clean things up. High pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, depending on the arrangement. If the sound gets muddy, dip a little around 250 to 500 Hz. And if the top end feels too shiny or modern, gently roll off some high frequencies above 8 to 12 kHz. The goal is not to make it dull. The goal is to make it believable in the track. Now let's create depth. Instead of a giant bright reverb, try echo first. Echo can give you that dubby, ghostly, oldry feel without washing everything into the background. Use a musical delay time like eighth notes, quarter notes, or dotted values depending on the groove. Keep feedback moderate or low, and darken the repeats. That gives you reflections and space without making the pad too obvious. If you want more atmosphere, add controlled reverb or hybrid reverb after that. Keep the decay sensible, the low end out of the reverb, and the high end softened. Dark space is often more convincing in old school DNB than glossy space. At this point, it's a really good idea to put the whole thing inside an instrument rack and map a few macros. This is one of the best workflow moves you can make in Ableton. Give yourself macros for tone, dirt, width, motion, and space. Tone can control filter cutoff. Dirt can control saturator drive or redux amount. Width can control utility. Motion can control modulation depth. Face can control delay or reverb mix. Now the pad becomes playable. You're not just looping notes, you're performing atmosphere. If you want this to feel even more authentic, layer the pad. A strong DNB atmosphere usually works better as a stack than as one single sound. You could have one main chord pad for body, a quiet noise layer or tape hiss for texture, and maybe a very soft high layer for air. The body layer gives you the harmony. The texture layer gives you the worn tape feel, and the air layer gives it sparkle without overpowering the mix. Each layer should have a job. Now think like an arranger. In jungle, pads are not just background wallpaper. They are scene setters. In the intro, let the pad appear filtered and mysterious. As the groove comes in, let it stay dark and supportive. In the build, open the filter and maybe widen it a bit. Right before the drop, pull it back. In the breakdown, bring back the full wash and let the chord change tell the story. That contrast is what makes the pad feel musical instead of constant. There are a few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't make the pad too bright. Bright pads fight the snare and hats. Second, don't drown it in reverb. Too much reverb makes the mix blurry and weak. Third, don't leave it static. If the pad isn't moving, automate something. Cutoff, width, delay amount, saturation, even volume. Fourth, don't overdo the lo-fi effects. If the sound turns to crunchy artifacts before it turns warm, you've gone too far. Fifth, keep an eye on the bass relationship. If the pad masks the sub or the res, high pass it more and clean up the low mids. And finally, don't keep everything perfectly on grid. That's one of the fastest ways to kill the human feel. If you want a darker and heavier DNB result, minor 19hs and sus chords are your best friends. FM9, DDM7 add 11, Asus 2, CSUS 4. These kinds of voicings instantly feel more cinematic and tense. You can also add a little sidechain compression, but keep it subtle, just enough so the pad gets out of the way of the groove. You don't need huge pumping unless that's the specific vibe you're after. Often a gentle sidechain is enough to make the break feel clean and powerful. Another classic move is automating the pad into the drop, then cutting it. Build with the lush pad, then high pass it hard or mute it just before the drop. Even leaving only a filtered tail can make the drop feel much bigger. That contrast is huge in drum and bass. If you want to go one level deeper, try resampling. Once you have a nice pad, render it to audio. Then audition it like a sampler user would. Audio often reveals things the synth view hides. If you like the sound, chop it into slices, reverse one slice, trim another, or pitch a piece down a few semitones. That can create a more authentic found tape texture than the synth patch alone.